Hi, my name is Dr. Arthur Wilson, PhD.
And I am the host of All Things Change, a podcast about change and transformation. During this series of podcasts, we discuss why we transform, how we transform, the benefits and challenges associated with change and transformation. My interest in creating this podcast stems from my personal journey of change, my interest in transformation, and my career in fostering change. During this career, I have assisted individuals, teams, organizations, and industry sectors change and transform. I have also been fortunate enough to influence social and economic aspects of people's lives and their business for the better. In helping foster and guide transformation, I consider how the changes may impact how people work, their lives, the culture of the organization, and the well-being of individuals within that organization. But first, what is transformation? The Cambridge Dictionary defines transformation as a complete change in the appearance and character of something or someone, especially so that thing or person is improved. BusinessDictionary.com defines transformation from an organizational context as a process of profound and radical change that orients the organization in a new direction and takes it to an entirely different level of effectiveness. Furthermore, this definition implies that transformation changes the character of organizations and leaves no resemblance of its past configuration or its past organizational structure.
Today, this episode builds upon my previous podcast that discussed how the Industrial Revolutions created significant advances in technology and the changes it caused in society. We'll talk about the often neglected subject, how Black Americans contributed and were impacted by the Industrial Revolutions. So please, sit back, relax, and enjoy me on a brief tour about Black Americans during the Industrial Revolutions. The Industrial Revolution, Slavery, and Transformation. Slavery played a crucial role in the development of the modern world economy. Slaves provided the labor power necessary to settle and develop the new world. Slaves also produced the products for the first mass consumer markets: sugar, tobacco, coffee, cocoa, and later cotton. Slavery was an integral part of the earliest multinational systems of credit and trade that arose in the 15th and 16th century. The African slave trade also stimulated European shipping, manufacturing, and gunmaking. During the earliest phases of capitalist development, planters, master craftsmen, and other early capitalists could not afford to pay wages. Chronically in debt, New World planters could exploit slave labor without expending scarce currency. Slavery provided the cheapest and most expedient way to meet the demand for labor in mining and agriculture. The slave trade had a profound impact for Europe. Between the early 1500s and the early 1800s, the slave trade became one of Europe's largest and most profitable industries. Profits from the slave trade were said to run as high as 300%. In the mid-18th century, a third of the British merchant fleet was engaged in transporting 50,000 Africans a year to the New World. But it wasn't just slave traders or New World planters who benefited from the slave trade. American ship owners, farmers, and fishermen also profited from slavery. Slavery played a pivotal role in the growth of commercial capitalism and the colonies. When the United States was founded, life in all sections of the country was about the same. The new nation was essentially rural, with farming the main occupation of a vast majority of the people. The Civil War saw new inventions that transformed society from rural and agriculture into a society in which people began to move into cities and use machines to do the work formerly done by hand. This included the introduction of instant communication through the electronic telegraph. Ships that used steam power to navigate upstream during naval campaigns were also new. This allowed generals to move thousands of men hundreds of miles by rail in only a few days. The North and South sections of the country reacted differently to the Industrial Revolution in America in the early 19th century. The North, with a meager farming economy, positively focused on machine labor and its productivity. The South had a stronger agricultural, people-based economy supported by slavery. The South economy was primarily devoted to cotton, which was very profitable, and the South never really saw the need to integrate industry into this comfortable plantation life. In comparison to the North, the South were slower to adopt factories and the Southern population slower to move into cities. Slave labor grew tobacco, rice, indigo, and a little wheat, but these crops produced little wealth. In fact, by 1789, Southern agriculture had reached a point where a slave laborer no longer paid for his own maintenance. Cotton had been the great hope of Southern planters, especially so since English mills were demanding cotton fiber. But the problem was that each cotton boll was full of little seeds, which had to be separated from the cotton fiber. This was hand labor at its worst, a time-consuming chore that produced a paltry 2 pounds of cotton fiber for 20 hours of work. Then, in 1793, Eli Whitney, a Northerner, invented the cotton gin. The cotton gin was a simple and cost-effective machine that replaced hand labor that had been used to separate the cotton seeds from the cotton fiber. The cotton gin was an important part of the Industrial Revolution and made cotton into a profitable crop. Cotton planting expanded, and with it, the demand for slaves. The South was thus wedded even more firmly to slave labor to sustain its way of life. In the pre-Civil War United States, a stronger case can be made that slavery played a critical role in the economic development of the country. One crop, slave-grown cotton, provided over half of all U.S. export earnings. By 1840, the South grew 60% of the world's cotton and provided some 70% of the cotton consumed by the British textile industry. Thus, slavery paid for a substantial share of the capital, iron, and manufactured goods that laid the basis for American economic growth. In addition, precisely because the South specialized in cotton production, the North developed a variety of businesses that provided services for the slave South, including textile factories, meat processing, insurance, shippers, and cotton brokers. When the Civil War began in 1861, the North and South followed their own interest. The South clung to its cotton is king economy, confident that it could win any war in which cotton was a player. During this time, American slaves could not hold property, could not own patents, or own their own inventions. But that didn't stop Black Americans from innovating. The North had spent the previous 60 years transforming through industrialization. Factories in the state of New York alone produced more goods than the entire South. The Northern transportation system was fully integrated. It had canals crisscrossing the region and a rail system with common trackage that ran no fewer than 4 lines from the Atlantic coast to the Mississippi River. Slavery was seen as an economically efficient system of production, adaptable to tasks ranging from agriculture to mining, construction, and factory work. Furthermore, slavery was capable of producing an enormous amount of wealth for the owners of slaves. On the eve of the Civil War, the slave South had achieved a level of per capita wealth not matched by Spain or Italy until the eve of World War II, or by Mexico or India until 1960. As late as the 1850s, the slave system in the United States was expanding and slave owners were confident about the future. And yet, there can be no doubt, opponents of slavery had come to the view. And yet, there can be no doubt that opponents of slavery had come to the conclusion that the South's peculiar institution was an obstacle to future economic growth. Despite clear evidence that slavery was profitable, abolitionists and many people who were not abolitionists felt strongly that slavery degraded labor, inhibited urbanization, thwarted industrialization, and stifled progress. Slavery was becoming associated with economic backwardness, inefficiency, indebtedness, economic and social stagnation. When the North waged war on slavery, it was not because it had overcome racism. Rather, it was because the North, in increasing numbers, identified their society with progress and viewed slavery as intolerable. Slavery in the North was seen as an obstacle to innovation, hindered moral improvement, was based on free labor, and was a negative influence on commercial and economic growth. It's nice to think slavery ended because of mainly moral reasons. However, there are strong economic reasons why slavery ended. Some argue that it was economic self-interest and not moral convictions that ultimately led to the abolition of slavery. It was only after slavery came to be regarded as an impediment to industrial progress that abolitionists in the United States and Europe succeeded in suppressing the slave trade and abolishing slavery. Many people do not know that during the Civil War and just after the Civil War, Black innovators helped elevate the United States. Black people's contribution to the catalog of inventions that marked the Industrial Revolution has been largely muted. During this period, often considered one of the most innovative eras in world history, seeing the birth of major advances in agriculture, transportation, communications, manufacturing, and electricity that fueled the rapid economic growth of the country. With the exception of a few notable Black inventors, who are regularly elevated during times such as Black History Month, including inventors such as George Washington Carver, who invented several products from peanuts. Many other Black inventors are not only disregarded and their work whitewashed, but biases were introduced into society in which Blacks were often not perceived or recognized as being inventors. Some of the innovators who contributed to the Industrial Revolution include the following. Louis Latimer. Louis was born in Massachusetts in 1848. He was born to escaped former slaves. He became a leading electronics engineer, making technical drawings for Alexander Graham Bell, contributing to the development of telephones, and later working for Thomas Edison on the improvement of lighting. Elijah McCoy. Elijah was also the son of African-American parents who escaped slavery. He was born in Canada but raised in Michigan before being sent to study in Scotland when he was 15 years old. McCoy was actually denied work as an engineer based on his race and had to settle for work as a railway technician. However, he developed and patented an automated system for wheel lubrication, greatly improving the efficiency of train travel. He was fortunate enough to go on and have a lengthy career as an inventor. Granville Woods. Granville was another influential black inventor of the era. He was born in Ohio in 1856. He made fundamental innovations to railways, especially in the form of communication systems and the distribution of electricity to the rail cars. Sarah Boone. Sarah invented the ironing board, winning a patent in 1892. She was raised in New Haven, Connecticut by African-American parents who escaped from slavery in North Carolina through the Underground Railroad. Marie Van Britten Brown. In 1966, Marie and her husband Albert invented the home security system. She felt unsafe in her neighborhood and so created a device that would make her feel safe in her own home. She built the foundation for a home security system in which several of her design elements are used in our home security systems today. Garrett Morgan. In 1923, Garrett created the traffic light signal system. This idea stemmed from when he witnessed the streets were crowded with all different kinds of vehicles, and he knew there had to be some way to better regulate the traffic. His initial idea began with a stop and go light system, but soon realized that the drivers did not have enough time to react once the lights changed from red to green or from green to red. This led to today's yellow light, which gives drivers a warning that they need to be cautious that lights are about to change. He sold the rights to his invention to General Electric for $40,000. Alexander Miles. In 1887, Alexander Miles improved the method of opening and closing the elevator doors, which allowed them to open and close automatically, rather than having this done manually. Although he wasn't the first inventor of the elevator itself, his improvements and design were critical for elevator technology and helping prevent possible accidents. Black inventors, entrepreneurs, and workers of all kinds faced discrimination and professional and financial barriers that white people did not have to face. Obtaining a patent was more difficult for black people because it was often involved working with a lawyer that was white who may be tempted to engage in unfair dealings. These obstacles no doubt suppressed the wealth, fame, and influence of black innovators. And yet, many succeeded in making important contributions to American technology and economic development. I will close this podcast with some points about wealth. What must not be forgotten through the transformation fostered by the Industrial Revolutions is the cost of racism and discrimination. The failure to provide the basic human rights of self-determination, including providing simple but important things such as encouraging, supporting, and providing pathways to innovate, has been destructive to the black community. This can be reflected in a McKinsey & Company report that states that only 2% of black families have a net worth above $1 million. Black people are also paid less than white workers for doing the same job. According to the report, more than 2 out of 5 black workers earn less than $30,000 a year. In the long run, lower earnings lead to less savings, more debt, and limited investment opportunities. Overall, the report reveals that black households have 1/8 the wealth of median white households. When you break down the numbers, the inequities are even more depressing. An estimated 7.8 million black families have a net worth of less than $10,000. Approximately 3.5 million families have a negative net worth due to overwhelming debt and the burden of debt. I believe the ability to innovate can create wealth for the black community. I also believe with this wealth it aids and supports America. There was a time, not really that long ago, when wealth creation through innovation was denied Black Americans. The situation today is better, but much more work still needs to be done. Thank you for listening. I am Dr. Arthur Wilson, PhD, the host of All Things Change, a podcast about transformation. Until next time, please take care.